lieutenant from the department, honorable member.
You deserve the truth and you'll get the result. This is not 9 o'clock. According to all the good watches in South Africa. I apologize. This is our first meeting. My intention was to be here before any of you is here. I don't know how I missed the point. I thought we were starting at 10. Until I was reminded this morning on my way from Pelican Park where I stay that the meeting is at 9. It's Friday and meeting start at 9 and not 10 o'clock. I have learned my lesson and I apologize profoundly. If anybody wants to leak this to the media, please do it yesterday. I'm apologizing profoundly. It will never happen again. I wanted our first meeting to be an exemplary meeting. So any other story you hear is not true. The truth is, I thought the meeting is at 10 o'clock and that's 9. Please, you accept my apologies.
Yes,
if you do that, it's also newsworthy. Anybody wants to listen to the meeting, you're free to do so. we are very happy to be working with the Department of Arts and Culture. In this short time that I've been chairman, I've gone through as many documents as possible. And I shall forever thank first God and Parliament for deploying me as chairperson of this committee. It's a very fascinating portfolio committee. It's a very fascinating area. So, as I say, I'll forever be very grateful to God and for Parliament for deploying me in this area. Madam Minister and your lieutenant in the department, we look forward to a very, very constructive relationship, and we will do everything in our power to assist you in legislating where you have got legislative vacuum. We'll do everything in our power to assist you in the area of oversight. And for us, oversight is not a battleground. It's an area of critical cooperation where whatever we think and say and do is to assist the department to deliver better to our people. So even the cause of our work, if you suffer a stroke, it won't be because of us or a heart attack, because our aim is to achieve the best for our people. We believe that our democracy will never be a democracy if it is demos only when the people vote. We know that democracy is from Greek. Demos is people, kratos is power or authority. So our democracy will never be a democracy unless our people participate. So we shall make sure that in whatever we do, in all the areas of our responsibility, our people are at the center of what we do. Because otherwise, if they don't participate, even after they voted, we become autocrats, and that is self-power. It's not people's power. People give you the power and you become the self-power, and that's not what we want to do. We want our people to be at the center. We have come here today first and foremost with our ears wide open. We know the separation of power. We are the legislature. We are Parliament. And you are the executive. And the two of us are not the judiciary. So we understand those differences. So you do the best that you can in briefing us so that we understand what you are all about, and then we'll do that which we need to do as a portfolio committee. We want to be remembered at the end of this parliamentary life, 5 years, that we have done our job with fear of nobody and with favor to none. And I must conclude by saying, as chairperson, I promised you at my election that I'm more than accessible. I have a door, but that door has no lock. Anybody from any political party can go through that door, teach me, educate me, assist me, and also be willing to listen to me, because it's tit for tat and butter for fat. In democracy, it's two-way traffic. It's never one-way traffic. And I would really appeal that all political parties should feel free to do their best to assist the program of delivery in our country. And as chairperson, to the extent that I understand the constitution, the rules and the regulations, I will do everything in my power to protect everybody's right to make their contribution to the best of their ability. I wish I was saying this thing having arrived punctually, because then I would tell all of you that our meetings must start on time. But having confessed and apologized, I think I still retain the authority to say credibly that our meetings must start on time. Thank you, Madam Minister. We are all here just to hear what you are all about.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Reverend Farisani. I think we are also honored to have been given the opportunity to work with you, knowing the role that you have played in the struggle for liberation, in leading our people, not only in your province, in Limpopo, but nationally. You have been an inspiration. And in the area of art, culture, and heritage, I think your input was critical, taking into consideration your experience and commitment. Thank you very much. Today I'm not going to talk a lot, except to say that the department is here, and we are here with the Deputy Minister, Paul Mashatile, to lead and guide the discussion. Our vision as this department is to develop, preserve, and promote South African culture to ensure social cohesion and nation building. And I do hope that to all the members, both opposition and the ruling party, we will be able to work together to achieve this important goal and task that has been put before us. And I'm sure this will be a department that will fight to unify the nation, that will work towards nation building, and I hope there will not be so much political scoring for the sake of politics, but we will all be concerned about ensuring that we preserve our heritage for our children and for generations to come, but most importantly, to unify and build the nation through the arts, culture, and heritage. The DG is here with his team. They will take us through, starting off with the achievement in the first 5 years. As you all know, this is a new department. It was first established in 2004 when President Mbeki separated arts and culture from science and technology and appointed Minister Carlos Zoldan and Deputy Minister Ntombazana Bhoza. And I think we are forever indebted to them for laying a very firm foundation in the last 5 years for setting policies and principles that will assist us to take our work forward. They will go through the achievements in the last 5 years. They will give us an overview of the program of action, programs and priorities for the next 5 years, but also the strategic plan for the for this financial year, 2009-2010, and pieces of legislation that we would like to work to table in Parliament. They will also talk to the budget. Of course, this is a big challenge, Chairperson. As you know, we're going through a recession, Yes, we do. Very welcome.
I'll write one at the end of the meeting, but don't, because you can fill them out of the camera.
So, those will be the challenges that we would like to work together, and we will plead for your support in that regard. They will also talk briefly about the institutions and subsidies and transfers to those institutions. We have about 27 of them, starting with very big ones like Freedom Park, up to very small ones like the Luthuli Museum in KwaZulu-Natal. And I don't think they will have the time to go into the details, but we will make sure that they make time to come and brief you extensively about each and every one of those institutions. I think at this stage, I would like to hand over to the DG. I will ask him firstly to introduce his team, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, thank you very much, Minister. At the beginning, we should have agreed more or less what time we have available to deal with what we have, because we don't want to finish when only three of us are here. What is your proposal? Thank you, I saw him.
Yeah, I think the time
will
stay till
1 o'clock. Till 1 o'clock. So we are comfortable with that. Thank you.
Let me also say, Chair, that I was of the opinion that the meeting is at 10. But I was told very late yesterday that it's at 9. So I understand where you are coming from. But I also would like us, because there are new members amongst us, some of us may not know them, that we ask members just to introduce themselves so that we know each other on this, our first day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I rule in favor of the proposal. Could we do it fast and so and so? And a few spices if you have, but they must be around yourself. I'll begin with myself. I'm Shenwani Farisani. Please, 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 I beg you, never use Simon. This name got in touch with me at age 12 when I went to school for the first time. And it supplanted Chenwani, the name I was given by my late grandmother, and she was not consulted. So please assist me to protect my first name, Chenwani. Thank you very much. We're moving clockwise.
Good morning, Honorable Member, Minister, and the Deputy Minister. My name is Freddy Mashamba. I'm the Acting Chief Director, Coordination, Monitoring and Evaluation. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members and minister and deputy minister. My name is Temba Wakashi. I'm the director general in the Department of Agriculture.
Good morning. Honorable members and Minister, Deputy Minister. My name is Nsuke Kumarav. I'm the acting COO in the Department of Agriculture.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Minister, Deputy Minister, Honorable Members. My name is Rosemary Mangope, and I'm the acting Deputy Director General in the Department of Agriculture.
Minister, Minister,
Deputy
Minister, Honorable Members. My name is Lindelo Junjo. Please don't call me Mary Ann. You also came to me by default. I'm Lindelo Junjo from Basin Cape, Port Elizabeth area. Yes, I'm here representing the Afghanistan Congress.
Morning, Minister, Deputy Minister, and the Chairperson. Honorable members and the rest of the administrators. My name is Faith Vigani. I'm from the Free State and I'm representing the Free State.
Morning,
everybody.
Can you see off my Lindelo? Honorable member. My sister is Lindelo.
I'm Chivante Sobowan from the Great Limpopo. My constituency is Toya, so we struggle together in the chat. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Minister and Deputy Minister and honorable members. My name is Mike Luwele. I'm the Director of Communication with the Department of
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, and members of Parliament. My name is Busi Tembalima. I'm Chief Director of Heritage in the Department of Arts and Culture.
Good morning, honorable members, Minister and Deputy Minister. My name is Solila Tondase, Parliamentary Officer in the Department of Arts and Culture.
Good morning, honorable Chair, Minister and Deputy Minister. And honorable members, my name is Gulen Kekana. I'm a director for library policy and coordination in the department. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable chair, honorable minister, and colleagues. And my name is Nikki Patsail. I'm the parliamentary researcher in arts and culture.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Sam Russell from Commerce.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Pumela Dikana. I'm from Kalti. My constituency is from Atlanta.
Honorable Chair, Minister, and Deputy Minister. I'm Anneli Lofit, and I'm the DA spokesperson for Arts and Culture, and I'm from the Free State.
Minister, Deputy, and Chair. My name is Desiree van der Walt. I'm the Deputy spokesperson for the DA. And in the past, this committee was made up of all Limpopo people, and we had a competition on constituencies, but I'm now the leader of Limpopo South Corridor.
So it's still led by Limpopo.
Good morning, Minister. Minister, Deputy Minister. I wish I could say I was from Limpopo. But unfortunately, I'm not. And honorable members, I'm Lisa Combrink, I'm the head of communications for the Department of Arts and Culture.
Could we agree that people who are not honorable members are still honorable persons? Thank you, let's proceed.
Yes. Paul Mashatile, Deputy Minister, Arts and Culture.
There are people who are sitting behind us. I don't know whether that excludes them from introducing themselves. I've not ruled that way.
I'm the chief of staff and the minister of public health.
Could we advise that when we acknowledge, we begin with the chair? Thank you.
Honourable members, honourable minister, deputy minister, I'm Adela Driscoll from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Thank you very much. Among the
an appreciation that at least the DG listened to my request time and again that we don't prefer to see the rugby team from the office, at least today. He complied to my request that he brought some human beings. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Shivasa. I didn't know the categories of people who are sitting behind us. Normally, the portfolio committee people introduce themselves are those honorable members and those who work with the department. So, but I didn't know the category. I think the media will not report that they introduced themselves when they were not supposed to do so. But I will leave the information. Thank you very much. Thank you. You may proceed, Minister, as you can.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Minister, and Deputy Minister. Honorable members, we're just going to go over Article 12. And the summary of our strategic plan, and the strategic plan will also be available to you by Monday, and before we go for the budget vote on Friday. The minister has already outlined the content of our presentation, so as it is drawn out there, as well as the aim and of the Department of Arts and Culture, which is to develop and preserve South African culture to ensure social cohesion and nation building. And maybe I should just emphasize that the aim is not to be a banqueting arm of government and provide entertainment. The aim is to ensure social cohesion and nation building, and that is our mandate. A great deal that the Department of Arts and Culture is largely misunderstood. People think of us when they think we want to have entertainment. Can't we get artists? And we don't have the money to pay for the artists. Kindly just perform for free, and artists they make their living out of those performances. So to say to somebody, come and work for free, you know, and it's not a nice thing. And hence, to a large extent, some of our artists feel that they are not appreciated, and they should be. anytime they would complain that they are appreciated in other shows except on our shows. But I always remind them that even if they think that they are appreciated on those shows, it is this government that opened the doors to those shows. So, but we will get into that when we deal with international relations and our cultural agreement. I'm not going to spend much time on the departmental achievements and over the last 5 years, and because some of the work that is there is speaks for itself, but I will just highlight a few things. And the achievement, for example, in 2008-2009, one of the key ones was the completion of the draft of the National Policy on Intangible Heritage. And intangible heritage is that heritage which is not a heritage which manifests itself in terms of bricks and mortar. This is it's a heritage that expresses itself in terms of music, poetry, and so forth. And whereas other heritage, the tangible one would be like the monuments and so forth. We have also done a heritage skills audit and human resource development for this sector, mainly because this sector has got a challenge, and the challenge is that the skills are aging, and not only are the skills aging, they are not, the area itself is not attracting new talent. And so we have to look at the heritage skills audit so that we can plan properly for a human resource strategy for this sector. We completed the first phase of Freedom Park, and we have also declared Freedom Park as a cultural institution. As a matter of fact, from the 1st of April this year, Freedom Park is now a cultural institution under the Department of Arts and Culture. It's no longer Freedom Park Trust. And so now it is our institution. The board is in place there. And honorable members, from the 2005, we have been working on the preservation of African World Heritage Sites, and that has led us to the establishment of the African World Heritage Fund, which is based at the Development Bank of Southern Africa, audited by the Auditor General. And this fund is really assists in the preservation of African heritage, and but specifically the World Heritage Sites as declared by UNESCO. Of course, some members around the table, honorable chair, will tell you about the passions that surrounds the debate on standardization and of names, of the geographical names, in terms of towns, townships, mountains, and rivers. The president in the State of the Nation address had also indicated that this is a work that needed to be speeded up and completed. So we will be coming back to the portfolio committee to outline how we're going to handle that. And the other achievements in the next page are really the work that we're doing to improve in service delivery, particularly within the archival and library sector. On an international level, in terms of the archiving, we have managed to complete the project on Timbuktu, the building of the library there, and of course the restoration and work is an ongoing work because the manuscripts are large, and the project was handed over to the Malian government early this year, and representing South African government and South African people was former President Mbeki and former President Mutlante. And it was a very good occasion indeed in Mali. Also, we managed to get the cause of the Rigolia trial into the Memory of the World program, the UNESCO Memory of the World program. And this program is a counterpart to the World Heritage Site. But this one deals with heritage, literary heritage. And then some of the achievements, we had completed and handed over the National Library of South Africa building, which is located in Pretoria, and it was opened by former President Mbeki. And we are already underway with the implementation and the distribution of the Community Library Conditional Grant, and this is going into upgrading of library facilities, getting of books into the libraries, as well as addressing the issues of skills within that. And also we have been working on a library transformation charter, and whereby we're looking at the norms and standards and regarding the governance of the libraries, but broadly it's just to look at the challenges that are facing us within the library sector, and of course to ensure that we move towards delivery on the stated goal that we should develop a culture of learning and reading. What we're preparing for this presentation, we're finalizing this presentation yesterday. We are briefing our political principal, Chairperson, and we said that one of the things that is absolutely critical is that with the ability to learn and to read, you can see how that skill links to the elimination of poverty. There is a direct link there. And secondly, that one cannot talk about building a nation that is able to think creatively and critically without investing in the development of that nation's brain. And so this is a very, very critical area of our work. And over the MTEF, we had also designed and registered six national orders. And we've had national order ceremonies. We've designed parliamentary emblems, and carried on with our campaign to popularize national symbols. Furthermore, we had participated in commemoration of International Women's Day, the National Women's Day. And for the past 3 years, since 2006, we have embarked on showcasing the work of women through workshops, exhibitions, and dialogue sessions. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, when you get a strategic plan on Monday, you will see that one of our targets in this financial year is to develop a comprehensive strategy of integrating gender issues mainstreaming women's issues and gender issues in the work that we do in the department. In this regard, we intend to work closely with the newly established Ministry of Women Affairs. And secondly, we have developed a strategy for human language technologies to facilitate and support communication for South African languages, and particularly the nine previously marginalized languages. And this is an area that honorable members require some attention, and particularly because there is a decline in universities up there, of students studying African languages, and in some cases African languages departments have been closed. And I think one of the reasons is that people have not really found economic value in African languages. And like they would say, okay, English is a business language and so forth. And so there are challenges in that regard. And we think that engaging with language issues in the 21st century will be one of the critical things is to leverage the ICTs, the technologies, and then it will assist us going forward. I always say that one of the things that is incredible is that Afrikaans as a language was developed in our country, and it became the language of business, language of law, language of... And so we do have a capacity inside the country to actually leverage that skill to develop other the other African languages, and we need to find a way of leveraging that skill. It is there, University of Free State, University of Pretoria, Stellenbosch, and so forth. But there needs to be a framework for that dialogue to happen. South African film industry we have been supporting, but the support has not been really adequate, particularly if you are looking at the potential and the economic potential of the creative industry. So as we look, move forward and interrogate our budget, we have got to actually find a way of prioritizing the allocations and the resources that go into the creative industry in the area of art and culture. Internationally, we have had very good cultural agreements that have delivered to us, and we have also participated in a number of activities internationally, and we have been working quite closely with South-South. We have worked quite closely within the framework of the African Union, as well as with North-South, and that slide would just give you a taste of what we have been doing with Norway and with Sweden. One of the things that we will be focusing on this year is to develop a cultural diplomacy strategy for South Africa, so that that cultural diplomacy strategy can then effectively support the diplomatic work and that we do continentally and internationally. For example, we're asking ourselves a question: what is the role of art and culture in both conflict situations on the continent? What is it that we can leverage? And in many cases, you find that the issues of culture, of identity, are also part of the amongst the elements that need to be addressed in both conflict situations. The role of heritage and sustainable economical development, particularly in the areas of tourism, infrastructure development, job employment, you know, those kind of things that are able to not only assist in the development agenda or the developmental agenda of our country, but of the continent as a whole, but we also want to be able to consolidate our engagements as well with the North. We want to also consolidate on the new initiatives like IPSA, India, Brazil, South Africa, and we want to be able to see whether we can begin to anchor, for example, creative industries within the framework of IPSA. India is doing very good work with Bollywood, and I think we can actually find some areas of cooperation there. Moving on, Honorable Chairperson, to the overview of government program of action. And there is the issue of promoting of national symbols and conducting an intensifying national dialogue on various aspects of social cohesion, national identity, nationhood, And we have been mandated by government to lead on the issues of social cohesion. And we are also working on the preparations are underway for the conference on building a caring nation. Social mobilization campaigns to build solidarity, improve safety of communities, and to strengthen social cohesion. And as of course, we also need to conclude debates on national school pledge, working quite closely with our colleagues in the Department of Education. And the second part of my presentation, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, is just to give you a sense of how the Department of Arts and Culture is structured and the programs that make our work possible. Program one deals with the issues of art administration. It is basically corporate services which provide overall management and centralized support services to our core programs, so that we have got an enabling environment for us to deliver and to achieve our stated goals. And the priorities outlined there, issues of risk management, oversight, and on our public entities, and that's quite critical, this matter of oversight on our public entities, because over 60% of our 2 billion budget goes to public entities as transfer payments, and that is to the museums, to the theaters, and so forth, and community art centers. The second program we have is called Arts and Culture in Society, and the real main purpose of this program is to develop and promote arts and culture in South Africa and mainstream its role in social development. And a key work that we're doing there is the management of the community art centers, subsidizing and sustaining the work of the National Arts Council, which is the funding body for the arts, as well as a Business Arts South Africa, which is a body set up to mobilize business resources to support the arts, and of course focusing on, as well on specific programs focusing on women, children, and people living with disabilities. National Language Services, and I have already alluded to some of the challenges that we have over there. Of course, the purpose is to develop and promote arts and culture in South Africa and enhance the linguistic diversity of the country. And the challenge really is the enhancement of that linguistic diversity, because we are moving towards kind of a monolingual situation. And some of the things that are done by that program is to provide translation, editing, for government departments. I had talked to the issues of human language and technology, but also it is to facilitate the development of literature, particularly literature in African languages. The next program, Program 4, is called Cultural Development, International Cooperation and Investing in Culture. This area focuses on three pillars. The first pillar is that of cultural development. And this is where we're looking at dealing with the issues of creative industries, publishing industry, film industry, design industry, and music industry, and so forth. And the second one is on international cooperation, and this is where we are talking international conventions, our obligations to the UNESCO, Commonwealth Foundation, bilateral agreement between ourselves and other countries. And investing in Qatar is quite an important area of work that we are doing, Honorable Chairperson and members. And we used to call that program, it was a poverty alleviation program within arts and culture. And quite a lot of the focus over the last 4 to 5 years has been on the craft, focusing on rural development and supporting job and creation in the rural areas. We would appreciate an opportunity, Honorable Chairperson, to come and present comprehensively on the program of investing in culture, so that we can also get some feedback from the honorable members. And then we move to heritage promotion. The purpose of that program is to develop and monitor the implementation of policy legislation and the strategic direction for identifying, conserving, and promoting cultural heritage for socioeconomic development and social cohesion. Just to elaborate a little bit, the heritage in our country has not been leveraged enough, the economic potential of heritage in South Africa, we have not really leveraged it enough, particularly when it comes to the areas of tourism. And most people do not understand the fact that there can be no tourism without heritage. Heritage is one of the pillars, serious pillars for tourism is heritage. And that means jobs for people, sustainable jobs. And we are well aware of, for example, what the Cradle of Humankind is doing in Gauteng in terms of drawing tourism there. Robben Island, in this part of the world, Table Mountain, the floral region. But if one thinks, for example, of St. Lucia, wetlands, if one thinks of countries like Egypt, and think of the amount of, almost 40% of the GDP of Egypt comes from tourism, and that tourism is based on heritage, pyramids, and what have you. Rome is Italy, France, and Greece, and so forth.
London,
of course. So the whole tourism development strategy, they must be linked to heritage development and that sustainable infrastructure to support that, so that we are able to create sustainable jobs. But that is just the economic side of heritage, and that's the work that we're continuing to do. But there is, of course, another element to heritage, and that is that patriotism, the sense of national identity, the sense of social cohesion. And so that at times when you find yourself in for example, say, in China, you find yourself in Ghana, you find yourself anywhere else, and you say, but where are these people deriving their sense of social cohesion, their sense of national pride, their sense of national identity? And it is mainly in their heritage. And Chinese won't miss an opportunity to tell you how old their heritage is, and how much they have contributed to human civilization and human development, and so that is one of the things that we are doing there. Of course, there is also we are working on the developing a policy to digitize our collection, and because it's becoming very, very expensive and a big challenge to have most of the records only based on paper because of all the challenges of preservation that come with paper. But to digitize is another way of preserving our heritage. But also for the purposes of education, if you are digitizing the collections of the National Gallery, you are then able to make those collections accessible to every school and every corner of the country. So people do not have to travel to the National Gallery to actually come and see the work of Gerard Sigotto that is here at National Gallery. But children from Limpopo can actually say, yes, Gerard Sigotto here is his work. And of course, one of the work that exciting work that we are doing that is currently underway is we have commissioned some work on documenting the social history of the host cities for the 2010 FIFA World Cup. And for example, we want to have a kind of a very concise social history of Johannesburg, Greater Johannesburg, including Soweto. Here in Cape Town, when you pick tourism books, and it's like there's no populated, there's no land. There's no Ndabeni, Crawford, Athlone, all those other old settlements, and human settlements, District 6 and yes. That's one of the things that we want to capture, that these cities that are hosting the World Cup have got a social history, and that social history has contributed in the identity of what South Africa is today. I have talked to the issues of the African World Heritage Fund, and which supports the work of conservation on the continent. The last program, Honorable Chairperson and members, pertains to the National Archives, Records, Libraries, and Heraldic Services. The work we do there is, of course, preserving the records of the state, and because I think most people think that when we're talking about archives, we're talking about a place where we just sketch in documents. But the purpose of putting those documents in the archives is simply to actually record. It's a record of government, of a state. And you will be able to say, during this time, this is what the policies were like, this is how this country was governed. If you go to the archives, you can actually see what has happened to our country between 1652 and 1994. And you can see what is happening from 1994 going forward. So archives are a record of government. But also, archives are critical for us in fighting corruption. Because in order to fight corruption, you need to have a proper paper trail. Once that paper trail disappears, we are dealing with oral history. And nothing is verifiable. So it is actually very important to look at the National Archives as an asset and, in the chain of governance of a country. And one of the things that we are doing there, we are also working with the libraries, and my colleague Mr. Kakana is here, he might you will participate in some answering some of the questions. Is we are looking at the National Library for the Blind, that is in Grahamstown, and we think that one of the things what we need to do is to strengthen the work that is being done by the library, and so that it can fulfill its mandate, not only in South Africa, but also within the region. And and then heraldry really is about the design of national symbols and so forth. And in the legislation, that is the legislative program that we're going to be bringing to Parliament, one of the pieces of legislation would be the Heraldic Act of 1962. It's a rather an archaic piece of legislation. But while talking about legislation, perhaps I should just end here by saying that we have been working on reviewing our legislation, and specifically the heritage legislation. So that work has been completed. It is ready to be tabled to the portfolio committee for consideration, so that we can go through with the amendments of those 12 acts, and that those amendments will be carried through one piece of a bill, which is the second amendment, cultural amendment bill, and that we are ready to deal with the legislative calendar of Parliament, Chairperson. In terms of our budget, MTEF, Medium Term Expenditure Framework, in 2009-2008, we have got 2.1 billion. 2009-2010 is 2.4, and 2010-2011 is 2.2, and the spread is as articulated over there in all the six programs of the department. And perhaps I can quickly take you through the trend of, let me just finish on the figures and I'll come back to the MTEF expenditure trend, and let's go to page 19 and continue with the figures. And resource requirements, the key departmental objectives 2009 to 2012. And there again is the tabulation of the figures according to the six programs. On the next slide, it gives you a sense of the transfer payments and subsidies that go to our institution. I had alluded earlier on to the fact that 60% of just over 60% of the of our allocation go to transfer payments, and you can see how much goes to Artscape here in Cape Town, to Business Arts South Africa, to the Market Theatre in Johannesburg, to the National Arts Council, to Parkhof in the Free State, Playhouse Company in Durban, State Theatre in Pretoria, Winnie Brown in, excuse me, in Johannesburg, and in other projects that we assist. You can also, on the next slide, see what goes to National Language Services, Financial Assistance Project, and to the PEN South African Language Board. And, honorable members, we will need to, at one stage, look into PEN South African Language Board and areas of accountability in terms of the PEN South African
language board. And in the thank you. And we will need to at times interrogate the issues of South African language board, promotion of multilingualism, the issues of accountability, and so forth. And then we will then look at National Film and Video Foundation, and that's the area I'm saying that there is really not enough going to the National Film and Video Foundation, particularly if we say we want to be a film producing country. There's the cultural industries, creative industries, and again, there is that investing in culture, which we have said it used to be our poverty alleviation program, and then promotion of arts and culture internationally. That's the amount that's been allocated. In terms of the spread for heritage promotion, that these are the allocations that go to the African Style Museum here in Paul, Engel and Berg House Art Collection, Freedom Park. It's no longer a trust now, and Iziko Museums of Cape Town, the Lutuli Museum in Guadalupe, Natal Museum, National Heritage Council, National Museum, Nelson Mandela Museum, Robben Island, South African Geographical Names Council, National English Literary Museum, Fort Rega Museum, and so forth. And the capital works budget that promotes, that supports those institutions. And in terms of Program 6, the breakdown over the MPEF is there for the National Library, for the South African Library for the Blind, and that's where we want to zoom in this MPEF, and on both the South African Library and South African Blind Workers Organization, and the financial assistance project. The conditional grant community libraries, I talked to it earlier on the slide, and here are the trenches that are going as grant payment on the conditional grant on community libraries. Having said all of that in terms of the breakdown and overall figures, perhaps what is important is to just spend 2 minutes or 5 minutes on the trend, an expenditure trend in the actual medium-term expenditure framework. Chairperson and honorable members, the Department of Arts and Culture's expenditure grew at an average annual rate of 24.4%, and this is between 2005 and 2006 financial year, and up to 2008-2009 financial year. And this was mainly due to additional funds for the construction of the Freedom Park, the upgrading and maintaining of museums, and the introduction of the Community Library Services Conditional Grant, and that grant was introduced in 2007-2008, and of course it is to improve community library services. Also, what contributed to that increase were once-off items, such as the 9 million rand for the background research on community libraries conditional grant, and also the Community Library Services Conditional Grant accounts for the 994% average annual growth in transfers to the provinces between 2005 and 2009. And transfers to provinces are expected to grow more moderately over the medium term at an average annual rate of 15%, and expenditure over the MTEF period is also expected to grow more moderately at an average annual rate of 4.3%. But also with the current recession, we have been asked by Treasury to cut, not asked to cut, Treasury has cut down our budget. So those increases are definitely going to be affected. And one last matter on that slide is that with major projects such as the 2010 FIFA World Cup, including preparation for the opening and closing ceremonies of the World Cup, we will see that there will be a dip in the in our budget, because we had specific allocations to look for to look after for the preparation to the FIFA World Cup. In general, the transfers to heritage and art institutions, provinces and playhouses continue to dominate our budget, and comprising 86% on average of the total budget of the medium term. The 2009 budget provides additional allocation of 227.3 million, 166.9, 41.3 million over the medium term, and this is for the completion of Freedom Park. It's for the personnel inflation adjustments, it's inflation adjustment for capital assets, it's inflation adjustment for capital work projects and our public entities, that is our institution. And lastly, Chairperson and Honourable Members, in terms of savings and reprioritization, we had efficiency savings of 85.4 million over the medium term. And these have been identified as follows: 6.8 million in 2009-2010, 8.5 in 2010-2011, and 15.3 in 2011-2012. And this will be on our budget item called from goods and services in across the programs of the department. Also, we have reduced the savings, and we have also reprioritized and obtained some savings in travel and subsistency and catering in the department. In terms of the infrastructure, I have first of all alluded to the issues of Freedom Park and as well as that over the medium term, the department will continue to upgrade safety and security and improve disabled accessibility at all our entities. And for this, we have allocated 120 over the 3-year MTAF. In the first year, 120. In the second year, 150. In the third year, last year of the MTAF is 159.8. And that then concludes the presentation by the Department of Arts and Culture, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members.
Thank you, Director General. Any other important thing you have forgotten? Madam Minister and Deputy Minister? Or any other person from the Department?
Perhaps we should say, Honourable Chairperson and Members, that you'd be aware that the medium-term strategic framework was concluded recently by Cabinet. So there is still ongoing work by our various units to align some of the programs in line with the MTSF and also the budget. So as we go on, perhaps there are areas that we will relook at. As the DG was saying, that some of our areas of work, like creative industries, film, might need to be relooked at in terms of funding, in terms of prioritization, etc. So that work is still also ongoing to make sure that over the next 5 years, our programs and priorities are completely in line with the medium-term strategic framework.
Honorable members, are there any questions for clarity? Clarity, underlined. Not questions on substance and other matters, but where you need clarity on the input or the presentation that was made. Honorable Chulasa.
Thank you very much, one has a little bit of question to the DG when he was in here, when he was trying to explain regarding the funding, something that I've gone through with it. I've realized that Freedom Park was funded twice within the budget. One would like to be clarified why is the reason, what is the main reason thereof. And the other question is regarding the theaters and the library. I think last year we had a problem of some funds which were not utilized as far as libraries are concerned. I don't know whether the DG presently has the answer to that. Regarding language development, one still has a big problem that most of the African languages are not developed to the standard as far as we're concerned.
Thank you. The one for clarity would be the first one. Apparent double funding. The other two would be questions of substance. So we'll deal with only one on clarity. Any other question on clarity?
Chief, on clarity, but I'll speak on substance. Try to say something about legislation. I think in the last term of 5 years, we never had a single piece of legislation before this committee, although they were work in progress. But we never had any legislation. I saw there was a long list that we planned for this term of office. And I would really like to ask the DG, are you sure we're going to deal with it this time? Because there are urgency matters that have to be addressed. And I think we all know what they are. But they didn't come. The other issue on the presentation was that we worked with the Department of Education on a flag in every school. I'm not sure where that project is, and I would actually like to see, you know, our state plan and what the presentation today, that we actually in future get our quarterly reporting, because it's very difficult for this committee to do oversight the way we used to do it. I mean, if you're not a keen committee member to really go and search for yourself, you don't get any information. And I hope the minister also would accept that. Not to be difficult, but I think the government cannot be proper oversight if we do not get very, you know, frequent updates on where all these plans are. There were other matters too, but I'm very concerned about the libraries, although it is specific funding that
honorable
is not utilized, and how he's going to control
that. Honorable member, I think the chair is failing. I should have already allowed honorable members to raise a real question on substance and the presentation, because members are already there now. So let us deal only with that one question of clarity on double funding, and then we can move into the flesh of everything. But also, honorable members, as we raise this question, let us remember the political head is here, the deputy is here, so the questions are not just meant for administration. They are also largely meant for the political leadership of the department. So let's deal with the question of double funding and move into the substance. So you can follow up on that.
Thank you, Chairperson. The reason why we have got two line items on the budget regarding Freedom Park is to actually separate between the capital works budget and which is targeting bricks and mortar,
and the operational budget of the institution. So it's not actually it's not double funding. It's the operational budget that looks into the work that needs to be done, the research that was done, the staff expenses, salaries, and so forth. The operational cost budgeting, and then the other one refers to the issues of bricks and mortar.
Thank you, honourable members. You may proceed, and let us take 5 questions, and then there will be a response, and then we take another 5 questions like that.
Okay, may please put my questions to the minister, and I do honestly accept that it's a new portfolio and one inherits certain matters and others you inherit in a more acceptable way, obviously. But to the minister, rightfully, it's a new department in 5 years when I came here, and we've actually moved backwards, I believe, from a unqualified order to report and up onto a disclaimer this year specifically, and there are many entities I can speak about and ask questions to the minister, but I'm specifically focused on an emergency case, and that's the Robben Island Museum. And I'm sure the minister would agree that it is a crisis. And the crisis is this: we're going backwards with Robben Island Museum, and the minister did comment on appointing a new board. I'm not sure if it has been done. I was in my province for 2 or 3 days and I haven't seen that the new board has been appointed. But even if they are, I would like to know from the minister that are we going to be able to fix Robben Island Museum, which is one of the most important and valuable cultural institutions in our country. And that institution belongs to all South Africans. It does not belong to the department or the minister or a specific political party. And we are very concerned. And I would like to ask the minister whether she's going to make sure that we fix it, that we appoint a board for Robben Island Museum, like all our other entities who is also in trouble, and the DG knows there are some with serious trouble. That will be based on merit and, you know, a certain surface type of board so that we ensure that we fix it. Because I'm very concerned about the World Heritage status of Robben Island Museum. I really am. I studied the audit report and the SOPA recommendation. It is as if the previous board just felt SOPA is, you know, just something in the corner of the room. They don't have to apply or amend or fix. And the money that, even in this budget, that we spent on Robben Island Museum, it's a lot of money. It's been contributed by somebody out there. And we must fix it. The other concern is, Minister, the forensic audit that was done towards the end of last year at Robben Island Museum does not belong to the minister or the department. It belongs to South Africa. It belongs to this committee, with the oversight committee for that entity. And we have the right to know what is in that forensic audit report. Otherwise, there's something major wrong that we're not supposed to know. And I really, you know, it's uncomfortable sitting in a committee and you have to take care of entities and do oversight, and you're not allowed information, which I think is extremely wrong. But Minister, I must say, it's along with other entities, and as they come up, we would like to discuss it with you and the committee as well, is we've got to fix Robben Island. There's just too much at stake to lose Robben Island Museum. Somebody phoned me during the week and said to me, well, you know, if your committee in Parliament can't deal with Robben Island, give it to the Western Cape government. Maybe they could fix it. So, you know, I'm not proposing it yet, but I might. But I'm very concerned. I'm very, very concerned about certain entities. Even the Nelson Mandela Museum is the next one I'm going to moan about, and the DG is nodding. So they are, I don't know, we've got this icon of cultural institutions, but we actually don't hear what happens there. And Minister, please, I beg of you, those very important institutions, we can't even go down the way as it's currently happening. Thank you.
Honourable members, will encourage participation by everybody. Will not promote a situation of passengers in the committee. So to achieve that goal of all people participating, let us be short and to the point.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. You'll pardon us as newcomers.
And please forgive me, we've introduced ourselves. That some of us are very old. We can't remember every name. So when we speak, let us introduce ourselves. This will strengthen our recognition of one another.
I'm Linda Latin, representing the African Congress. Chair, my question, I'm not quite sure whether it's clarity or substance, but I'm not concerned about speaking on the area of languages. That there are some departments that I pick up in some universities, those are closed. And I'm a bit concerned, and I want to ask the minister whether is there going to be a process of communicating with the Department of Education, both ministries in the education area. I'm raising this because if we want to instill culture from the very word go, it then means even the curriculum of education in this country is to really focus onto that. As an activist and as an ordinary South African, I always become concerned. At the time, I always feel guilty that I'm going to be perceived as being racist. That our culture, our own African culture, most of the time is that it will be explained by white people. And what always comes, some of them not even South Africans for that matter. And what comes into my mind is, are these people really going deeper? And who is to do that? Not that they can't do it, but who is to take a primary responsibility and a role? And I'm saying, if then this ministry is to ensure that we culture in our areas, deep into the deepest rural areas, in my view, is that Department of Education, together with this ministry, is to ensure that that happens, and therefore the closure of those universities, those areas. I want to make a recommendation that we must look into that, and then they must be opened. I'm one of the victims. I can't speak as much as I have 10 years in Johannesburg. And the SQ always hammer in me that it's about attitude. But at times I think that it's unfair. I've moved in a number of provinces, but I can't speak. I only speak Xhosa and Zulu and a little bit of Afrikaans. I don't want my kids to be a subject of that. My granddaughter is refusing to speak as a natural. And I'm saying, what is this? A thing. I'm sure I'm taking. It's quite an important area in me. The second area, which is either what is this clarity? Is there a monitoring mechanism on provinces in how they utilize their account or how they utilize? I'm seeing this document for the first time, so I find it very difficult. Our province is being monitored by the National Department on funds that are allocated to them around the issue of arts and culture. And if then that is done, is there a time where we are going to be given that report? And coupled to that is that municipalities have got some cultural museums, libraries. I don't know whether it's only mine, in Nelson Mandela, in that location. What is then the role of national and province in ensuring that is in a state or that can be, that everybody in Portland Capet can be proud of? Thank you, sir.
Honorable
Thank you for the question. For the record, my name is Faith Ligan.
I just like to, I hear the degree is explaining the achievements in the UK, but as we go along, there is an indication that there are obstacles here and there. What are the possibilities, perhaps, of when you get a strategic plan, that that strategic plan has prioritized assistance, to prioritize where the problem areas? I'm taking note of the fact that you made some made mention of our roles of art and culture in the post-apartheid era. And of course, I'm seeing that there's also been obstacles in terms of the geographical change in Now, I believe that I'm saying this because I think it will give us direction in terms of our oversight role to be specific to where there are problems. And so that you don't unnecessarily look at areas. And if those could also be put in order of priority, so that it can give direction to the policy in terms of
Let's take the last person for now. Yes, another one.
My name is Melanie Dika from Hope County. First of all, I would like to thank the DG for the presentation he has made. Of course, really, you know, very much detailed and very clear. Thank you very much. My question would be to the department asking the level of participation of the community initiative and if any, are there some certain institutions that or bodies that are recognized by the to be the voice of the community? And the last one, I'm not sure if it's relevant, but to me I think it's important that this question of the national anthem, I know it may be probably irrelevant to education, but what can be done by the department really? It's a shame when it comes to the national anthem. Not only that most of the people on the ground are not completely, but they, you know, you go to informal settlement, that's where I come from, and you really feel apologetic when there are people from outside, you know, your community. I just wanted to know, is there anything that could be done by the department to sort of like strengthen or help in educating the communities at large? You know, I know even with the people in parliament, in political parties, they can't even complete, they keep quiet, you know, before the finishing of the anthem. That's my question.
You realize I've said five questions, and the five people who've raised questions have raised almost 12 questions. So we'll change the approach and say five persons, as long as they are short and to the point. Minister and your lieutenant, those are the questions raised.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will not answer all the questions. I'm sure Deputy Minister will take others and give him and his team. I will deal perhaps with the political, most political questions. The first one and the last one. The first one was really about Robben Island. I think it's really sensationalizing to say that there is a crisis in Robben Island. I was there yesterday with the Deputy Minister, and we met with the staff They were very happy to see us there. There was also a head of state that we received that was visiting Robben Island. Operations are continuing as normal. The management is running the place. And the staff are going around with their work. It's business as usual. Also, I think the DA perhaps is a bit too ambitious to think that they can take over Robben Island Museum. I think Robben Island Museum is a national icon. It is also a world icon where our leaders, starting with our first president of the Democratic South Africa, Mr. President Mandela, and currently President Jacob Zuma, and Deputy President Kgalema Motlanthe, former president, of course, Kgalema Motlanthe, where some of the prisoners that served on Robben Island. We have people from all the provinces who serve on Robben Island. And so today we can't just allocate Robben Island to one province. It is a national asset. It is a national icon. And I think there is no threat in Robben Island. There is no threat as far as its status is concerned. In fact, the reports that I have read show that things have improved in Robben Island, and that there is also great improvement in terms of the management of Robben Island. Yes, there was a disagreement amongst the council members, and they thought that the best way forward was for them to step down. We are advertising right now, and we'll make sure that as soon as possible we appoint a new council. We also have advertised for a new CEO to take over Robben Island. Right now we have set up a small team from the department and from some of our museums to assist in the oversight work over Robben Island. Among them, we've also appointed Professor Bredenkamp, who is the CEO of IZICO, who has done excellent work in improving IZICO Museum, and we're asking him in the interim to assist as CEO in Robben Island. We've already had two meetings with the staff and management of Robben Island. We've also met their representatives of the workers of Nehau on the island, as well as the representative of former prisoners, and they're very happy with what we've done so far on Robben Island, and they are prepared to work and to continue to support the government. And I think for the committee chairperson, there is no need for alarm. We can come and brief the committee when you invite us and give a full report on what is going on in Robben Island. On the matter of the national anthem, we are launching a campaign to popularize our symbols. We are working with the Department of Education because we think our schools would be a good place to start. We will be handing out, starting this June month, which is the month of the youth, flags, South African flags. We will also be going to schools to hand over South African flags in a number of our schools. We're also going to hand over copies of the national anthem. And part of the campaign is to teach our youth, our children, what our flag stands for, and also to teach them to sing the national anthem with dignity and with respect and attention. I know and I agree with the honorable members that many of our people, especially our young people, do not know the national anthem. They don't understand the dignity and respect that should be given when we sing the national anthem. That in fact, the national anthem is a prayer for our country, is a prayer for the African continent. And so it is very important, and that is why we have embarked on this joint campaign with the Department of Education to start with the youth. But we will also be calling on our honorable members to join the campaign, to work with the department, to take it to all our constituencies, so that we can have our flags in our constituency offices. We can also have a copy of the national anthem in our schools, in our churches, and in our halls, so that our people can learn it for themselves. I think I would like to leave it there, and Deputy Minister and DG to answer the other questions. I don't want to monopolize the person.
You heard the minister saying they will be willing to come and share more with us on organizing, and on our part we are ready to also go and see by ourselves and interact as a committee, so that we also show that delivery will happen. On the issue of where Robben Island should go, I am impressed by what you say here, to develop and preserve our African culture, to ensure social cohesion and nation building. So we should not be in a process of balkanizing South Africa. We've been balkanized before. What we are about in this democracy is to bring more cohesion and integration to our society. Even provinces are division of labor. They are not instruments of dividing us further. They are instruments of effectiveness and efficiency as we share the labor locally, provincially, and nationally, but never to divide us. I think that should be very clear. That's where we stand, even in our constitution. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am covered by the Minister on Robben Island. Just to also stress that there is no crisis as we speak, so members should not be worried. Of course, the newspapers have been reporting as if things are falling apart. It's not the case. I think the minister just left one point out there, that we, as we speak, there is a team of about five that we have appointed to take care of the situation as an interim council before a new council is appointed. And that team will work with Professor Braden Kamp, who will start on Monday. But even before it starts, our DDG, Mr. Hussein Dima, is already there, making sure that everything is taken care of. Of course, the honorable member is correct that there may be reports that we will need to look at of what was happening previously, and that's what we're going to do. There's an integrated management plan that we want to look at. We will look at the reports of the Auditor General to ensure that everything is fixed, because as everybody has said, Robben Island is a very important museum, not only for our country, but is a World Heritage Site. and we must make sure that we preserve that status. And Chairperson, we would welcome your visit to Robben Island. I think it's important that the committee should see for itself that things have not fallen apart. But of course, we believe we can do much more to improve that place, especially once we have sorted out the governance situation. Just a comment on libraries. Yes, we have noted that it appears that in certain provinces we have not made progress on the issue of libraries, especially in the rural areas. We were told by the management that we have some problems in Limpopo, Eastern Cape, in particular those two. We will check with other provinces as well, where even though funds are available, there has not been progress. So we have agreed with the minister to pay attention to those. I know in the Eastern Cape there was also a problem of acquiring land for one major library project. But what we will do in the coming months is to ensure that we intervene, work with those provinces there, provincial government, to ensure that we also prioritize rural areas. Because we don't want libraries only in the cities. We must make sure that even in the rural areas, there are libraries. We also agree that we will take an approach of multi-purpose centers, so that we don't have standalone institutions. In some areas where there are structures that already exist, providing a particular service in that community, we will then provide a library in that vicinity. In some areas where we want to provide a library, we will also invite other government departments to partner with us, so that we have multi-purpose centers. But I want to say, Honourable Member, that yes, we will prioritize those rural areas where there hasn't been a lot of progress. As you can see, there's a lot of funds we made available for this purpose, and we must make sure that we spend them. We've also agreed with the minister that we will also want to partner with the pilot project in Guyana that has been initiated by the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development. We were told that they did approach the provincial government, but provincial government said they are a bit cash-strapped. So we will intervene to make sure that that project becomes a success, in a sense that it must be holistic in terms of our approach to build human settlement. So that's one area where we will immediately pay attention on. The minister has covered flexing schools, something that we will run with. We've also agreed as a department that as part of promoting national identity, we'll have what we call a national flag month. And we will target particularly April as the Freedom Month, because Freedom Day is in April. So as we put flags in schools and so on, we'll also promote that in the broader communities, culminating in a month where there will be a lot of activity around the pride of our flag by our communities. So that will reflect in our threat plan when it's made available, that there will be a program of that nature. The languages, we share your same concern, Honourable Member Lindelwa. We were saying the same thing yesterday. It was you were listening to us, where all of us were saying there is a problem on the issue of languages. I even made an example that there was a report that in some universities there are certain languages that are in danger of not going to have lectures or even lectures because it's in Durban, for instance, there was a report that there are very few people now who are teaching the language in university. So the issue of universities closing certain departments is very real. There's something that we need to do about it. Obviously, we need to work with the Department of Basic Higher Education in particular to look at all those things. But we're also saying that languages don't die because they are not being taught in universities. They die because they are not being spoken. And that's the important thing, that perhaps together with yourself to look at how are we going to promote this. I'm sure a lot of members sitting there, we have the same problem where our children and grandchildren only speak English. Because when they go to school, you know, that's the order of the day. And if we can't arrest this from our homes, we can't expect university to come up with a miracle. So it's something that we have looked at, and we've also agreed we must even promote writing of books. The same concern you have raised, that you know, the history of South Africa must be told by South Africans in the main, and they must write in all different languages. So we are looking at a program in the department to promote that and support people who want to write biographies and other things. So those are some of the things that perhaps they'll come up very clear when we send the stress plan. As I said earlier, that we are still aligning and want to make sure these things come in our plans. Chairperson, let me leave it there. I'm sure the DG will and the team will deal with others. We have also received the same concern about the Auditor General's report. We have noted that the DG did tell us that coming from the past, we seem to have now moved a bit back where we got a qualified audit. You said a disclaimer as well. So obviously starting for this term, that's something that we need to immediately look at. And as the DG said, we have lots of institutions that we transfer money to. We need to make sure that the governance in all the institutions is correct where we send money to, and that's something that we are looking at. So perhaps, Chairperson, we should give a commitment that going forward, we will move back to non-qualification and perhaps clean audits. You, of course, will have to monitor us on that. So this is the first year. We started a bit in the middle. We'll see what we can do. But obviously, we are going to plan in such a way that, you know, we move forward again and not backward. Thank you very much.
Yeah, also, just to add that on the qualified report, on the audit of Robben Island, there are disciplinary proceedings and hearings that are ongoing, and in terms of publishing such judgment, we don't think it will be advisable at this point, at this stage. Thank you.
On the budget, our language as a committee, is that once a budget has been approved, it must be used efficiently to address the programs that have been identified. So the talk is not so much about that there's not enough money. The talk is about how we are using the budget as adopted by Parliament.
So our evaluation is not based on the money that is not there. It focused on the money that was allocated and how it was used. I think that should be clear. We don't want to waste time on money that was not allocated. We want to use time on money that was allocated. What has it achieved? What are the outcomes? Yes, we know that it's almost always not possible to have enough money every person. And as a committee, we do everything possible that, for example, in the budget adjustment, some of these issues are addressed. We support the department that they should have adequate money. But what helps us to support the department is when the previous money has been used correctly. Then you can speak authoritatively and say, see how we use the money for the good of the country. So give us more and we'll do more. So it's tit for tat and butter for fat between the department and the portfolio committee. I think the disclaimer, the qualified report, as the honorable member said, is not for this year. I think he's referring to the previous financial year.
Mm.
Because this year is still ongoing. We'll talk about it when we get the next audit report. I think we're all clear on that. We also acknowledge that things have changed. The minister, the deputy minister, don't know about the HOD, are new. And what impresses us is your ability to confess and admit and also to promise better things in the future. I think that's very, very encouraging. I'm happy we've closed the Robben Island thing now. What remains is to work on it and prove that we are doing better. I'm referring to the discussion. So, head of department, I think, has been called upon to continue to respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The response, most of the questions have already been answered. I think it was really comments pertaining to identifying problematic areas within the strategic plan, and that we need to prioritize that, identify, and then after identification we prioritize the areas of engagement. And we took that as a comment. And there was a question on the level of participation of communities. And there's a lot of participation by communities in community festivals and community art centers. We have got bodies like that organize community art centers throughout the country, and that's what we're working with. And at the present moment, we're working with a choir and trying to pull together those structures so that there could be a coherence and in our strategies for the development of the choir, particularly because there is no community in South Africa that does not have a choir. And so I think we're going to be having some interesting work there. The ministers addressed themselves to... Oh, the other question was monitoring of funds to provinces on arts and culture. We are not, we only monitor the transfer payments. But provinces themselves, they've got their own budgetary processes for arts and culture. And in that regard, the monitoring is provincial, and of course the Auditor General. But where we do have and we do exercise oversight is on the transfer payments. For example, with the community library. Thank you, sir.
Honorable members, have all your questions been addressed? Because when you raise them, you want a response. Any honorable member who feels his or her question was not addressed,
Thank you, Chair. My apologies if I'm repeating something that is not relevant for the committee. Maybe because this thing of us having experience within municipalities, not only in areas, but the question of the municipalities, the role of municipalities. I should have, in fact, make emphasis on those municipalities that are covering rural and peri-urban areas where there is a complete neglect in some of the areas. It was that concern. My apologies if it's not relevant in the question.
That and it's relevant as long as you're asking the same question. Since you want to run very fast?
Yes.
Basically, I think at the heart of the matter is, to what extent does the concept of cooperative governance assist us to address challenges also in that area? Or is it a no-go zone also for cooperative governance?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. It is not a no-go area in terms of corporate governance. And although the question is relating to the state of museums at local government, it is also quite broader than that, because it's about really looking at the arts and culture infrastructure and in local government. We have been we are working with SALGA. And we are soon going to be going out to tender so that we can have an audit of the arts and culture infrastructure throughout the country, and including municipalities, and whether we are actually using that infrastructure effectively. For example, you will go to areas like Witbank, and where you will find that they are the civic theatres that are there, but that those are closed. And then there are these pockets in some areas of for example, you go to Queenstown, and you find that that local museum that was there, you just don't really know what's happening. Lady Fred, there's nothing on the ground, you know. And so one needs to be able to do a kind of a mapping exercise and say, where is the arts and culture infrastructure in the country? And what is the status of that arts and culture infrastructure? Then we can be able to engage constructively and with how, what kind of interventions that need to be made.
I think it's an important question, because we're also looking at the potential of the arts, culture and heritage sector making a meaningful contribution in the economic development of the country and also in job creation, using our creative industries, but also in investing in arts, in culture. A program, and we believe that for us to succeed, we need to work together with our municipalities. There are lots of small projects that we see in our rural area that would need support, but especially if we talk about women and cooperatives and the home industries. Without the support also of local government, it's important for them to realize that within their IDPs, within their LED program, they also include the arts and cultural sector. For instance, also when we talk about the rural theaters, rural libraries, we'll need the support of local government. The Mdantsane Library, we have to work with the Buffalo City and also the provincial government for us to be able to build that library and make a success of it. the Greater Giani project, we need to work with the Greater Giani municipality, even in terms of providing land and providing other facilities. So it's a very important relationship that we need to build. So we've agreed with Deputy Minister that in our MINMEX, we are going to invite SANCA to raise awareness about some of the programs that we're doing and they are important, and also to ensure that we get their buy-in so that when we embark on whatever program, they already know the plan and the priorities of the department.
Thank you. Could we conclude this one? Wherever our money goes from the department, we have a right to know how it is utilized. You can't receive money from national and say the portfolio committee at national level cannot do oversight and monitor how that money was utilized. But also from a strategic parliamentary strategy. Often when committees move from NPOP or from the National Assembly, they interact with provincial committees to ensure that there's cohesion and coordination in what we do. So there's no sacred cow. While recognizing the other processes at local, provincial level, there's also a role within the parameters of the Constitution and the law and regulations for us to assist in those areas. So let's pass this one and go to the next round of questions. Honorable Shibata.
Thank you, Chairperson. Still on that issue, I wanted to raise this earlier, the issue of investing in arts and culture versus the expectation by the visitors from overseas and market, because we are trying by all means to encourage our people to do whatever they can, but they don't have market. And then they are also exploited by the people, the visitors, more especially the overseas people, who sometimes buy an article by 2 cents, we don't have 2 cents at all. Let's say 10 rand, and just go overseas and sell that thing, maybe by thousands. And then the other thing is that you find that they are producing a lot of things. There's no market. So what plans does the department have for such programs?
Number one, number two. For now, the minister and the deputy minister won't have to reproduce themselves because we know that. And the chairperson won't introduce himself. But all of us, for now, you always have to introduce yourself until you have indoctrinated us enough to remember your name. Continue with the indoctrination thing. Honorable.
These are from the vault, I just forgot to ask something to the DG, particularly, or the minister might be brought up to date with the issue of the CRL Commission, the Chapter 9 Commission, whether it's now going to be staying as is, or is it indeed going to report to this committee? We have the issue where I requested the previous minister that the cultural, the religious, linguistic, whatever community Chapter 9 body is current, was at that stage still with the Department of Local and Provincial Government, and actually belongs, Minister, to this committee, if you look at the issues they deal with. The other thing, and I know there was some arrangement where the Constitution was written, and that's why it happened, but the other issue is also the Castle of Good Hope. We started the process also, which I requested the Minister, and it lies with the Department of Defence. And I know there was a bill on the table, but it somehow disappeared towards the end of the term law. And that castle, of course, it must come with a relevant budget allocation, but it should also belong to this department. And I'm not sure where it is.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Anneli Lopez. My question is directed to the DG.
It's Anneli?
Anneli Lopez.
No?
Lopez.
Anneli. Why are you down?
My question is directed to the DG Chair. In connection with the language units to be established or have been established in different provincial departments, and also in terms of the NRDCs, what exactly is the current status now? Because I'm aware of an NRDC at Research University that has been closed down. Are they continuing? Are they closing down? What is the situation? And the second question is, I've seen in the budget document mention being made of a telephone-based information service to be implemented under the National Language Service. Is there any more information about that? Thank you.
Fourth person. Fourth honorable person. I'm not seeing anyone. Okay, let's deal with the three, and then we'll still get more time to the issue.
Well, I think on Honorable Van der Waal, I agree with her on the Cultural, Linguistic and Religious Commission. And I actually thought the castle belongs to Arts and Culture. we have not been briefed on this one. Perhaps the DG will take it up, but I think it's something that we must pursue, because for me it really makes sense that the Cultural, Linguistic and Religious Commission should fall under Arts and Culture. But I think the rest of the issues, I think also DG, maybe you can say something on the policy, language policy for each province, what is happening there.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
By the way, you don't know, have courage to say I don't know.
Yes, sure.
Yes.
Chairperson, I don't like giving improvised answers because they catch up with you. So when I don't know, I'll definitely say I don't know. And on that note, can I also ask some of my colleagues to assist me? Mr. Nzima has been working on the Castle of Good Hope. And maybe he can provide a report on that.
The first one?
I don't know. but
it's still
with local. Yes, and traditional affairs. And I don't know what it would take for it to come over here, and because that arrangement was a constitutional arrangement, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if we are going to be able to actually transfer from that ministry to this one without having to look for some amendment.
So those who doubted my prophetic skills up till now, by now must have changed their minds. I predicted there are certain things he doesn't know. But also in the same vein, the Constitution is not the Bible. It can be amended if there's good reason for it.
Offering the mention, but you'll agree with that.
I'm sharing now. I'm not representing a political party. I'm sharing. But basically I'm saying you cannot play around with the Constitution as if you're playing around with a ball. It's a very important document. But if and when there are sound and good reasons for it, we are reasonable people. We can deal with that challenge if and when it comes. That's all I'm saying. Thank you very much. And the response to the question?
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Busitem Bandima. I'm responding to the question that was raised by the Honorable Member of Parliament regarding the Castle of Good Hope, the transfer of the Castle of Good Hope. Maybe just to give a little bit of a background that in 2006-7, there was a cabinet decision that was taken that the Department of Good Hope was going to be transferred to the Department of Arts and Culture. Immediately after that cabinet decision, we started doing the necessary arrangements to ensure that that happened. We even started looking at working together with the Department of Defense. We worked towards the repeal of the Castle of Good Hope Act, which the Castle Management Act, which governs the castle. In fact, we wanted to replace it by the Cultural Institutions Act, which is the act of the Department of Arts and Culture. But at some point, I want to say that there were kind of resistance from other stakeholders, main stakeholders within the council, more particularly officers, the military officers, who are so much passionate about the Castle of Good Hope. They thought that it's fine to remain within the Department of Defense rather than be transferred to the Department of Arts and Culture. I remember that my colleagues who are here, we even went to, we were called by the Portfolio Committee on Defense, where we kind of presented our case in terms of our state of readiness. We had even done a study, a feasibility study in terms of how we were going to run the castle once it had been transferred to the Department of Arts and Culture. But despite that, there was a view that said we needed to wait for some time because there was going to be some consultation. In fact, the portfolio on defense had said they would like also to engage the portfolio on arts and culture on the matter. So, but since last year, we haven't had any progress. So I'm very happy that this matter is being raised, because it could then be served an opportunity of beginning that conversation. So I'd like to stop it there. But it's not a matter that has been finalized. There were still discussions that still needed to go on, and we hope that those discussions are going to happen.
Further response?
Thank you, Chairperson. On the Language Research Development Centers, LRCCs. The LRCCs were projects that were actually not meant to be permanent. And then after a particular period, I think it was about 3 years, we did an assessment and the reports that came to us were not actually quite favorable in that we should carry on with the LRPCs, that there was needed to be a major reconfiguration and also just revisit conceptually what the language research development center were going to be. And I then wrote to the vice chancellors of all the universities where the LRPCs were located, and I gave them a notice that at the end of last year we were going to wrap up everything, and there was about an 8 month, 9 month notice to all the institutions. I think that it was 9 months, and so everybody knew that that was what was going to happen. Some of the work that is have been done by the LRPCs have been absorbed into the language department of the universities that were hosting these development centers. So that those projects have been wrapped up in all the universities, and we still need to sit down and say, given that report that was tabled to us, then how do we address those challenges that were identified, and so that we can carry on with our mandate of promoting and servicing for multilingualism. I think what you are referring to is a telephone interpreting TISA. I must confess, I've had a look at TISA for some time, and there were some hiccups
with the University of the Free State. I would just need to go and check the facts if you would allow me.
My understanding about the castle of Good Hope,
yes,
is that those robust discussions have not been suspended. They are continuing. So they must continue. This is not search for territory and success. It's a question of where does this sector actually lie. Taking all the evaluative mechanisms into account. It's not a question of passion by the officers. All of us have passions about many things. When you do window shopping, you see something and the passion is there. That I want to buy this thing. But if there's no cash in the pocket, so passion alone is not adequate to get what you need also that capacity. When we debate this issue, let us look at those things. Honorable members, are you satisfied with the questions you raised have been addressed? Don't raise a new one garmented in the old one. We'll give you another round to ask new one. Just a question, are you answered?
Yeah, I just want to say that the issue with regard to Chairperson about the CRL Commission is actually we have to go back to the Osmore report and see what the recommendations were, because I think that was not finalised before one goes as far as the Constitution, and I think that's what I put on the table. We have to go back, see what was recommended from that report, and then how do we go about to get the CRL Commission within rightfully this department then.
Thank you, Honorable Van der Waal. An honorable member who wants more?
My question is not yet answered.
At their age, they've forgotten it. What did you say?
The market.
The market and the expectations.
Chairperson, may I delegate to my colleague, Dr. Delica, who's in charge of that program of investing in culture.
Thank you, Chair, Minister, Regents, and members. On the question that was posed around issues of markets for investing in culture, and I think the other underlying issue was the costing of the cultural goods that got produced by the project we support. I think the issues are somehow bigger than only that, because there are instances where we find that certain projects have a potential of scaling up in terms of being a flagship project. But then we are also dealing with issues of infrastructure as well, and hence the support from municipalities becoming critical. Because then sometimes they start as a small group operating from a house, but then they have the capability of producing more, but then they would need some warehousing facilities. Because at times they do get consignments also where they have big orders that they have to service. But unfortunately they cannot, because they don't have large stocks that they can manage to store. And we also have, in certain instances, the partnership with municipalities have worked. That's why we thought that would be a route that can help if it can be supported. We, for an example, in Limpopo we have a Tingwazi project that started small, but then with the support that we managed to get an additional funding for infrastructure development from EU funding to the value of 2 million. And now they are able to produce and store their wares within the same facility where they work. And they have been in a tourist route, which then automatically made them qualify in terms of that influx of tourists into that center. But then we've also partnered with Mepsita in terms of the development of skills, because we would understand sometimes most of our people would have the artistic skills, but they might not necessarily have the business acumen in terms of making a viable business. And the partnership that we have with Mexico is concentrating mainly on the arts administration in terms of how do you then translate
the very passion that they have and the skills into a viable business entity. And part of the modules that we have on the ARPO administration skills, we also have exhibition management, because they have to start claiming space in the market locally before we could start looking beyond their areas of work. And sometimes to that effect, they make use of any opportunity that as the department will afford them, and we are now having an intention of providing them more with such opportunities in terms of supporting the state's intention of also using SMMEs that are localized. And we say as Asan Council, we have no reason not to start using the very groups and for, in terms of product support that we've already developed. And we have started on partnerships, although they have been on ad hoc basis. As part of this coming financial year, we're looking at a targeted effort in terms of a partnership strategy development. We currently have an ongoing online support with ShopRite Checkers, for an example, in terms of putting the wares of those people on the site. And to this effect, some of about 10% of the groups that we've supported have managed to generate income more than 50% of what as the department we've supported them, which is a good measure of sustainability. But then we're realizing that we also need to upscale our initiatives and target them more in terms of making them viable entities. But then we also have the Mzansi Stores, which is a centralized market that is looking at supporting all products that are of the South African base. And we in Limpopo also, we have support from the Tourism Limpopo Investment. Most of the time we realize that in as much as the aligned department is Asan Council, but then in terms of the economic benefits...
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
If there are other success stories in other provinces, we would like you to spice your response with those. I'm from Limpopo and I'm getting embarrassed that everything that's being done is done in Limpopo. So we want to hear things are happening in other provinces too.
Thanks, sir. I think in the Western Cape we have the Art Cape as well as our marketing point, and they've offered us space to exhibit around the area. And we're utilizing the institutions also where we can as that marketing space as well. Thank you, Chair.
This is an interesting presentation, but we shall not be impressed until we have heard that this is a very broad approach that takes every square millimeter of South Africa into account, and especially the rural areas. So our input from here is that we want to hear things happen among our people everywhere. I'm happy that things are said to be happening in Limpopo. But if you want to make the chairperson even happier in this committee, is when we hear that South Africa is benefiting from what you're doing.
This will happen.
I believe you. I believe you. I prophesy it will happen. Honorable.
Not yet finished.
Oh, not yet.
The expectation part of it.
Oh.
I'm controlling that. I raise the question that you find that this thing is bought by 10 rands and then when the person reaches home, it's a million.
It's a very important question. It has to do with what we are worried in the continent of Africa. That raw materials, and in South Africa, including diamonds and other things, are being beneficiated elsewhere. So the kind of thing, you sell this thing at this price, but when it goes, there's a huge price. I know it cannot be done by you alone. The Department of Trade and Industry comes in here, but you also have an interest, because these artifacts are part and parcel of our focus.
Yeah, you are right. We are working with the Department of Trade and Industry, but also the Department of Science and Technology, who are developing policies and legislation to protect our intellectual property. And it's also about indigenous knowledge systems that have been protected, like the Sindebele Act, where you find aeroplanes, British Airways, and Air France, and so on. This art has been taken there, and Uma Mama Sango just flies and is grateful that she has flown to this country and gets just a little amount of money. But when you look at how much that art is worth, and the beadwork and all the things that we have, you find middlemen and women that come to South Africa and buy Sindebele art or a Zulu piece and go and sell it in America for thousands and thousands of dollars when they only pay 20 rand for it in the street out there from one of our rural women. So as government, we're working on legislation that will help us to protect this knowledge and this art and whatever products we have. Some heads that you find, the Khoi people knew all these years that this particular head can help in this way and that way. And then a scientist will come from Britain, take this head, process it into a head or into a tablet, and then suddenly it's something that is very expensive that we have to import. So we're looking at all that. Nobel laureate or Nobel award, Peace Prize. So it is something that we're working on with the various departments, as you are saying. But on markets also, we will be working with the Department of Arts and Culture. Department of Trade and Industry. But we're also saying, once they are big, we also need to train them. We need to train them so that they have quality, so that we can then expose them to the export market. The Mzansi stores that she's referring to is actually targeting those rural communities and cooperatives that are producing purely South African things. And those South African things are taken to this shop in Sandton, and where we hope all the tourists will be coming. And through that organization, we've got Mzansi furniture, we've got Mzansi food, we've got Mzansi, all these things that are going to help our cooperatives and small projects from the rural areas. The government has set up through trade and industry, arts and culture, and various other departments, this shop, where it is like a consortium of all the products from our people, and we will take these products and make sure that we get a market internationally, but also we will go back to those rural areas and make sure that we train those people in terms of quality control, business management, and making sure that they are able to produce. If we want 100 in a bottle, they must be able to command, they must be able to produce 100 in a bottle. If we want a train, Iskolo, we want 5,000 Iskolo to send to Spain or to send to Canada, we must train them so that they are able to produce that 5,000 every month, so that we are able to service the market, whether it's Harrods in London or whatever contract we have. So there are a number of projects or programs that have been set up, but I must say they are still at their infancy stage. We're hoping that in the next year or so, we'll be able to move and build the capacity with our cooperatives, our rural communities, but also broaden the market for the Mzansi stores.
Thank you. Let us take a round of more questions.
But I also wanted to say, I'm sorry to intervene again, that on the Cultural, Linguistic and Religious Commission, maybe we need to find a way of working with them, even if they are with the other department. Maybe Portfolio Committee can invite them and have a discussion in terms of the work they do. I must confess, I also don't know exactly what they're doing. But in terms of our program, we can find a way they could assist us. For instance, we want to popularize our languages. What are they doing in that regard? We want to do social cohesion as religious groupings. What is it they can do, we can do together in terms of the social cohesion program and nation building. And linguistics, there is a lot that we want to do, and I think we can't do it alone. If we're working together, I think we can do more, we can do better in reaching out to our people, to the religious communities, and traditional leaders and so on. If they already have networks and contacts, they can actually carry our programs and popularize them, and we'll be able to work together. Whatever happens, whether they stay or they come, but I think it's important that we build that relationship. I think it's also important that we work through the Deputy President's office with the Moral Regeneration Movement, which is a movement that was also tasked to look into social cohesion and nation building and mobilizing our communities. So I think as part and parcel of our social cohesion program, we must find a way of working together with both the Moral Regeneration Movement and the Cultural, Linguistic and Religious Commission. Wherever they are, I think it is not so important, but as long as the programs that we're interested in, we're able to join forces and put together our resources to maximize impact. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. I must announce that I am leaving you now. It's not a political snub. My phone is at meeting, and I've just received a call from the Minister of Toilet Affairs that we should have a short meeting together. And I'll ask the Honorable Shivase to preside while I have this short discussion with the Minister.
Is that acceptable? Yes. That 5 minutes break?
Yes.
Okay, the media won't focus on me alone.
Lula,
have we got?
Meeting with the minister, people would not have had their coffee and their tea. Yeah, fruitless expedition. Thank you very much. It's not the requirement of the Constitution that we leave at 1 o'clock. If we're done with our business, we can leave any time. Thank you. So let us not ask questions just for the sake of reaching 1 o'clock. a round of more questions. I'm not suppressing anybody, please. Honorable Lottery.
Chairperson, I think our honorable committee was very informing and wanted to ask a question.
Through political nepotism, I've chosen you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd just like to ask a question on legislation. What is the status of legislation regarding the language bill? If I remember correctly, the previous minister said it was referred back to cabinet. And then also the status of, or where is it in the process, the language practitioners council bill?
Honorable Shivaka. Now in this case, I shall follow her advice. Honorable will be second, Honorable Shivaka will be third.
Thank you, Chair. Just two questions. One, in the report it's saying, I think page 7, SA succeeded in successfully concluding international relations, the cultural partnership agreement. Now, the two paragraphs are saying concluded. I just want to know, is there going to be another process of being in partnership with either again these countries or are the other countries that are being identified by the department? The last question, which is not part of the report, which is a concern on me because of the vulnerability of many people who are in this sector, arts and culture. What is the impact of the, I don't know whether it, that is to be done by the department, whatever, the impact of HIV and AIDS, drug abuse, drug, alcohol substance. Is there any, I'm also understanding that the union in this industry is grappling with this. What is then the role of the department? Is there any partnership with other departments, whether health and whatever? The third thing is just a question that came into my mind, which is not part of the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Shiva.
For two last questions, I'm not doing anything. Maybe it's because I'm not that many. Thank you, Chairperson. As far as we heard that there are artifacts which are really stolen, or let's say craft work, which are stolen from South Africa and not yet back, one would like to know how are they going to be retrieved from those things. The other question is regarding oral history, which one has a question that it means that it is not well conducted, because there are a lot of people who have got a lot of history, more especially from the rural areas, who are not even approached. My say is that those people die with that rich history. What program, because it is under achievement, how far have you gone? Thank you.
Last question. Okay, may you please respond to the three. Maybe this time we'll reject the protocol and say DG, staff, and the deputy minister, and the inclusion minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the South African Language Practitioners Council bill, that bill has been, we have drafted that bill, it is ready for consideration. And the one on language policy, and there were all kinds of implications that came out of that. And we were, as a matter of fact, sent back to that to the drawing board. And there's some work that also needs to still to be done with colleagues in constitutional development, I don't see a speedy a conclusion of that one, but we will still be working towards the implementation of that. What is interesting now is the fact that some people who are using that bill or the non-conclusion of the bill to further challenge the provision of bilingualism in the country. So it is bringing up its own challenges. I think the biggest one is, of course, the issue of affordability as well. And people are looking at other ways of can we look at rotational system of languages and so forth. But it's a little complex piece of legislation. With regard to the issue of substance abuse, what is it that is inflicting the arts and culture sector? Historically, the arts and culture sector was inflicted by alcoholism. And if you look at the histories of people G.B. Moeketsi and particularly in the South African jazz scene, there was serious abuse of alcohol, and I don't know if that trend has been reduced, but what we have seen is an introduction of other drugs that were never there before. And for example, prior to in the 70s and 80s, people were drink and they would smoke dacha and then go and perform. Now you get a mixture of a lethal mixture of dacha, alcohol, and sniffing of things. All right. It's not something that you only find in South Africa. I mean, if you work in the entertainment industry, these challenges come up, and there have been some attempts in the country to fight drug abuse within the entertainment industry. And people like Hugh Masekela, when he cleaned up his own act, he started a rehabilitation effort for the broader sector, which we also assisted there. And the question is, serious, is when do people start to take responsibility for their personal behavior? Because the state cannot be in each and every place where these artists are living and so forth. But besides the state, there are the agencies that are responsible for promoting and artists and bringing them into the market. And for lack of a better word, what kind of coping are they exercising with these artists? You find, for example, within the white sector, one group comes up, somebody for the first time has got 2 million, and they think, wow.
Is this input unqualified? Is every artist involved, or is it just some of them, or a small percentage?
It is a small percentage, but it is a phenomenon that is actually destructive within the industry that needs to be looked into. And we also need outside that of substance abuse, and is all the other challenges
that we face. And for example, we would be saying to ourselves, how can the arts and culture community help us in messages against HIV and AIDS, you know, responsible behavior and so forth. And so it's my colleague, she just had to
run that. That's Amara.
Yes. And he's running some of the programs, particularly with the youth, but the interventions have not been with very much with adult artists. Oral history stolen artifacts, Mr. Ndima?
Thank you very much. maybe to start with the issue of artifacts and any other craft that have been produced in the country. I think it's very important to mention that there are pieces of legislation that are there to help minimize the movement of cultural goods. More particularly within the heritage sector, you have what the National Heritage Resources Act, which regulates the movement of cultural goods between countries. So which means that any cultural artifact that leaves the country, it needs to be registered. The same thing, any cultural property that enters the country, it also needs to be registered. But of course, there would be those slip-ups, and you find that, you know, some of those artifacts are outside the country. And you have also other international mechanisms to deal with that. For instance, we are signatory to the convention, 1970 convention on prohibiting illicit import, export, and transfer of cultural property. Now, you are able to use that particular mechanism to deal with those artifacts that have left the country in an intergovernmental context. But apart from that, within the country, we also have a panel consisting of the Department of Arts and Culture, South African Heritage Resources Agency, the Endangered Species Desk, which is in the police department, but also South Africa, in Interpol representatives in South Africa. And we have there's a project which is called Project ID, which says that, more particularly in our cultural institution, each and every object must have an ID. So that when it has been lost, you are able to say, here is the picture of this particular object. And it then becomes easier for Interpol South Africa to link up with Interpol in any of the states. In that way, you are able to check those cultural goods. And in many instances, we've been able to recover objects that have left the country. So in a way, there are mechanisms that are there to deal with that situation. You know, as to the perfection of those, it's something else. But I think we do have very reasonable amount of mechanism. In terms of oral history, Honorable Chiwatle, that's a very important part of our work. In fact, we have oral history programs that are actually being driven also from our archives. Currently, we also have Oral History Association of South Africa that is responsible for hosting oral history conferences every year. But such conferences are normally culminations of processes that start at local levels whereby there are these collections of oral histories to ensure that they are recorded for posterity. Of course, that work, we could do more than what's happening now. But there is work that's happening in that particular area. Thank you.
Honorable members, I've not asked a single question since we started. If I do now, will this be abuse of the chair? If I ask questions?
No.
May I ask? Do you want to chair while I ask? Okay. Are there more questions?
I just wanted to respond.
You should have called for a point of order.
No.
Because I said the DG, the deputy minister of health.
No, I just wanted to say that some of the questions that have been raised are very fundamental. The issue of alcoholism, drug abuse, there is also another aspect of it that our cultural or our artists
and workers. Now that you're doing what you're doing, let me ask my questions first, so that when you respond to them too.
Okay.
Are you happy?
Yes.
Okay, it's not suppression.
No.
Okay. Some are questions, some are comments. When I come to a question, I'll indicate it's a question. There's a question of national, provincial, and local. I want to believe that all of us, before we become what we are, nationally, provincial, or in local government, are citizens in our communities. So as a citizen of a given community, there's a lot of work you can do as a member of the community, as a citizen, without even dealing with constitutional matters and processes. I think that's critical. So as a member of a community, there's a dysfunctional library, whatever there is, all of us must contribute towards solving that problem. And then we can also use the positions that we have. I also want to say, Minister and Deputy Minister, and your Lieutenant, we appreciate tremendously that you started with acknowledging successes of those who came before you. There's this unstoppable danger that when some new people come into a position, they disregard everything that has happened before them. So if I'm chairperson of the Arts and Culture Committee, nothing has happened until Farizan came. It's completely wrong, and you can never make progress that way. Even with Robben Island, as you deal with the issues afresh, you will discover there are lots of success stories that have been achieved in spite of challenges. I think all life is like that. Unless you have the capacity to appreciate something from those who were there before you, you will never grow. In fact, your chances of blundering are very huge. I also want to say, and that's why Minister, I said you should talk after I've raised these issues. The question of strategic plan is very critical. You know you can't even begin to function and move without a strategic plan. The saying goes, failure to plan is planning to fail. So we're looking forward to that strategic plan. In fact, we'll even be happier if along the way we have got a better view of what you want to do in the next 5 years, maybe in 10, medium-term expenditure framework. That should be very clear because it helps the committee to plan its committee activities to assist the department. I use the word assist advisedly because when we do what we do when we're assisting the department to achieve that which they intend to achieve for the good of all our people. So we're looking forward to that. I've not heard much about relationship between art and culture and sport, and I think there are a lot of common areas there. Not only because 2010 is coming, but especially because 2010 is here. So we'd like to hear more how we are interacting relevantly in order to assist that process. In the honor, State of the Nation address, today many acronyms were used here, and my information is about 60% of honorable members are new, and 40, maybe 50% are old members. So let us not take it for granted that when we use these acronyms, everybody understands. This is my 16th year in the legislative sector, and today here, certain acronyms have been used, which even I do not understand. What about a member who's here for the first time? Salva, I understand. But we can't take it for granted that a person who's here from the first time will understand the Salva. So when we speak, we tend to communicate. Now, if you use tools that are not understandable to the listener, it might be very good English, but it does not achieve what you intend to achieve. So let us be very careful when we use this thing for say SALGA, we express South African Local Government Association so that people understand.
Okay, and a point of order, can I ask you that? Oh, doesn't mean they are age.
Yeah, I take that point of order. I'm the order. thank you. Now also, what I think, Minister, you would like to address as you respond to the questions, we have a clear-cut program of government. Is there any relevance of this department to the issue of creating decent jobs? And are there measurable targets in terms of what the department will contribute or the ministry will contribute? We want to hear that, because we use that tool to find out whether you're relevant or whether you are a president on your own or whether the marching order applies to you as well. You've indicated some areas where you relate to education. Someone raised even the area of curriculum and culture. But I want to believe that there are more ways in which as art and culture we can contribute to that goal of education as identified in the presidential speech. Also in the area of health, partly the issues of drugs and abuse of other stuff affect people's health. So rather than lament, we are not a lamenting club. We are a portfolio committee, we are a ministry, we are a department. So we've not been elected to lament. We've been elected to come up with programs, real programs that address that issue. And I want to declare what is not declared yet in my declaration of assets and the other thing. I've got my last born is into these things of art, drama, theater, and that kind of thing. So he was working here in this thing 2 years before I was appointed in art and culture. So when you raise these issues, I've not observed anything. I get worried. Will my son be one of them? So, from a selfish point of view, and also from a collective point of view, we want to be hearing of real programs that address this thing. What is it? Because other culture, partly, is to take our people and our children from the street and give them something to do. So I don't want to take my kid from the street and hand over my kid to drugs. So there must be a living problem that addresses some of these issues. The issues that lend people into certain behaviors that affect their health largely begins with a mindset, even a cultural mindset. Some of these practices have a base in our culture, maybe old culture. So, while culture is good, there are some aspects that should be pruned. So, I will be happy to see how the... When you begin to get into this thing, the department is really working with the people, among the people. We can't fly above their problems. On the issue of crime and corruption,
I'm happy to hear that you're dealing with those issues, and some disciplinary measures, processes are happening in Robben Island. This issue has affected us terribly, and we need to be honest upfront that we'll show lots of interest in this area. Because the saying is correct, every cent that goes into corruption is taken away from possibilities of developing the community and assisting the community. The president has spoken a lot about this thing, and a crime. You're not that department of police, but we believe that you can play a very, very important role in culture and art to fight this thing. And I want to believe there are many good things that you are doing already and which you will do. But unless we are told and we are shown and we are given figures and you give them not only for Limpopo but for the whole country, that helps the committee to understand what you do. But what's more, it helps us to help you. Sometimes you can't deal with a disease if you don't do the diagnosis, and after that you prescribe, and after that you treat, and after that you do follow up. So feel very free to share with us, especially because we say we are here to help. Don't allow us to discover by ourselves things that you could have shared with us on your own, and that makes it more manageable. Sensational things are those that are discovered. Those that are put on the table usually don't become sensational. The same would apply to Robben Island. I think if issues were discovered and they were handled and where we were told, whoever the we were, because we were not here then, we could have been able to solve many of those problems without much hullabaloo. We want to know exactly, and this is very, very important. It must be called by its name. We want to know how this department is really involved in rural development and reform. So we're telling you where we'll give you lots of headaches up front, but we're not treating anybody. Some of us may be in Cape Town, and we have been many places in huge cities abroad for many years, but we are rural boys. In the Netherlands, many, many years ago, I was going to Zone 8. I jumped off at Mahala Station as advised. And as I walked through a plain field, I found some guys playing dice. And I suspected they would be interested in me, to deal with me from a physical angle. Indeed, as I came there, they said, "Stop it! Stop that!" So I stood there. They leave you in Bafanji. And I knew here if I pretended to be a clever boy, I would be in serious trouble. So I told them, I guess I got a room by Muku, but he's old one there. And they laughed at me and laughed at me and assisted me in finding the house where I was going. So basically some of us are Muku, Jagaruma, Kalkun from the rural area. And when we feel no justice is being done, and the decisions have been taken by the ruling party at Blue One, and the president has said it in his State of the Nation address, rural areas and the development thereof is the language of the day. Not by the way, but it's the language of the day. So we will really dwell on you on that. Minister, you understand now why I said you should speak after I speak. The other challenge that we face
You refer to heritage sites and cultural things, recreation, our public holidays. We're not yet a rainbow nation there. Let's say it really. We are not a rainbow nation there. We cannot promote integration and cohesion and nation building when our very critical cultural events do not show substance in that area. And that's why I'm very happy here that you have the ruling party, you have got opposition parties, and we know where we come from, and we don't want to return there. We want to go forward. So we should be able to wrestle with these communities and encourage a spirit of togetherness. Only those of you who have been in the DRC or in Burundi or in Rwanda, even Northern Ireland during those days, you understand that if we fail culturally to find one another, we offer possibilities of war and destruction. So this department, this committee, plays a very, very critical role toward truly building a rainbow nation. And I think all of us want to be there, because the alternative, to use the word of P.W. Botha, is too ghastly to contemplate. We are very happy that you say we welcome to visit Robben Island and elsewhere. Just to say we are welcome makes us happy, because there's always been this said that the portfolio committee, ministry, the tensions are necessary to promote democracy. But there's always been this said that we must become enemies. Whether you believe in the Quran or the Bible or whatever religion, there's no religion that promotes enmity. See, enmity is not a value, except you, if you are an enemy of an evil. So we welcome being welcome. But we want to say that portfolio committee will come even where we are not welcome. If it's necessary to come, we will come. With prior information or without prior information as a committee. Am I correct? Thank you. But we'll be very cautious. Very cautious. We've not heard anything about, in some of your documents it's there, but today we've heard nothing about your intended contribution towards the Millennium Development Goals, towards NEPAD. You discuss about national, subcontinental issues, but there's such concept as Millennium Development Goals, and there are deadlines for certain areas of achievement. We'll be happy to hear about that. We've not heard much about women and youth and children and the age, because every department is required to be relevant to those vulnerable groups. And disability, you're right. I'm happy some of the things I've heard from you, and that day when you responded to this honor, that there are things that you want to do that will benefit, I underline, the masses of our people. Urban culture is the best entry point to the masses of our people, all of them. So for me, it won't make much sense if foreign affairs has more access to our methods than art and culture. We've dealt with this one. Cooperative activities between national, province, and local. We must do this with respect to the constitution and the division of power, but we should not look for excuses not to do that which we can do within the constitution and the law, to assist at all levels. I want to believe all honorable members here are selfish. In the first place, you want to see what is the relevance of this department and this committee to your community. Charity begins at home.
and then you want to know what's happening elsewhere. So let's find ways of getting involved there. And I know you're involved. I'm underlining that we can do more things. Mm-hmm. So, when you have got some of your key interesting activities, we won't always make it, but let us know. Because sometimes, when you see and when you touch, informs the committee more than when you read a document. And very often documents are polished 10 times before they land here. But reality, something different is wrong. So we'll understand you better sometimes if we come and see what you're doing, when you're doing it. Another area, we say our traditional leaders are custodians of our culture. The house of traditional leaders, whether national or provincial, they are custodians. But once in a while, you'll hear that King Mushweshwe is in Limpopo, or King Muswati is attending a meeting. But rarely, Comrade Minister, do we hear that King Ramabulana Mthethu is in KwaZulu-Natal meeting King Zwelithini, or King Zwelithini is meeting King so-and-so. Now, while democratically speaking, we are de-tribalized, the custodians of our own culture are hardly interacting. So you can't bring cohesion and solidarity unless these people also discover one another. And their cultural dancers, poets, when His Majesty is moving from one place to another, it comes with his team, there are other things there, they mix, they share, they learn. I don't know any other department that's better qualified to promote that spirit than your department, meaning. The issue of language is critical. I'm very happy that we've recognized the languages the way we've done. As the ANC as a liberation movement has been all over the world, including all of Africa. And we know how the issue of language can divide and destroy a nation. A bad example is Limpopo. You go to Lukwana Airport. I think it's written there in big letters, the Amukheshi Lukwana Airport. The Tsonga is not there. The Venda, my mother tongue, is not there. It's not there. There's no Afrikaans there. Did you see?
No, there isn't.
It's not there. Not even English. I want to believe that did not come from a political leader. I guess it's one official in his office who doesn't understand where we come from and where we're going. At an international airport, at our territory, you just have one language. And many people can't read that language. One of the areas you must look at, you didn't dwell much on name changes. As far as I know, Honorable Shivase, we still have got Ferhurd Tunnel. As long as it's been happening in 1961, Ferhurd Tunnel today. It's 16 years too late. So, let's handle these issues bravely but sensitively. Hello?
Actually, I'm thinking of coming loud.
Okay. Such things as circumcision schools, initiation schools, and so forth are cultural institutions. I don't know whether we've ever tried to deal with those cultural things. And yet, even from a health perspective, many people die. There are certain cultural dimensions that must be kept, but there are also other new injections of ideas that can help. In some cultures, initiation for girls involves removing part of their private part. I just want to believe it's no longer happening. So there are certain cultural things that we must look at. So, flies right. Sometimes we use a plane from here to go back to Kluwa. It's far much faster. It takes me about 3 hours 15 minutes. And then and if I drive from Kluwa, it takes me another 2 hours. It's fine. But if I were to drive from Cape Town to my home, it's 23 hours 40 minutes non-stop, 2,040 kilometers. So, certain things must change. We must be relevant to the needs of the people. It's unacceptable that you can have at a circumcision school so many, many, many young people dying. Our 3 kids, I've not lost one. There were only 3. Sometimes I imagine losing one of them. And just to imagine is very painful. What about the reality of it? And often these kids who die are kids of the poorest of the poor. Because if they were kids of honorable members, there would be lots of noise. So, let's look at these issues. They are realities. We're dealing with them every day. Happy about the position of the face of the flag. It also deals with patriotism. And South Africans are happy people. But I don't know to what extent we're really patriotic. And I'm happy about the programs you're going into. In the area of legislation, there were some questions, but I still want to believe you'll give us a fully fledged projection of what kind of legislation we can expect as you identify a legislative lacunae.
Okay.
We'll be very happy. That's our area of action. And we must answer the question of who works who. Does the tail work the dog, or does the dog work the tail? We know that you give political marching order. And they advise you, they help you, and that kind of thing. But you should never take them away from the focus of our program for the next 5 years, as it has been. Because the budget is an instrument to address the identified priorities by the government. Very often you might find that core programs are not enjoying the respect that they should enjoy, and other things come to take over. The other issue is peanut artists. We've been reading in the papers, we're not even sure whether it's sensationalization about our artist who died some years ago, and who's penniless, essays, and we've read about many others, and it's confusion. This person blames the other one. We can't talk about economic empowerment in this industry, art and culture, if we don't have adequate legislation to protect our artists. When artists from abroad get what they deserve, and our own, here in our own country, don't get what they deserve. Sometimes the problem comes with the industry that self-regulates, and there's no other regulatory mechanism to deal with that. In conclusion, those who assist the minister and myself, they are there because it's known our heads are full and overflowing all the time, should remind us timely that the meeting is at 9. Because I don't want to use the phrase, and I'm using it, and I know it's not it. We set up, you are late, I am late. So how do we tell them to be punctual? So please do the job for which you are employed. Remind us on time so that we don't disappoint the committee. And we are happy for this document we got here today. For future purposes, we want to receive the document well on time. so that honorable members can read them, study them, and ask intelligent questions. You don't want to come here and listen to an intelligent question because people have not had time to study the document. Minister, it's your time to ignore what you want to ignore and to respond to what you want to respond.
Hey, it's a full plate when I think the Honorable Chair has actually given us our job description for the next 5 years, DG. I think as Deputy Minister has said, we are still open in terms of reviewing the program, getting input from honorable members here, as the chairperson has done, some of the areas perhaps we never thought about, how we can work with traditional leaders in the manner that you refer to, or also the circumcision schools. We thought it's an area that health is dealing with, but I'm sure there is a role for arts and culture, important role. So I think we have noted, Honorable Chair, the very important remarks, and also I think you are sending us back to the drawing board to say perhaps let's look, review some of our programs, look at what can be done. For instance, if you're talking about circumcision schools or initiation schools, what is it that we can do for our girls through those institutions? We talk about culture that is harmful sometimes. What is it that we can do to ensure that our cultural programs correct the injustices if they are there, or the abuse if it is there that exists in some of our cultural practices? So I think it's a food for thought. I think DJ, as we plan also with our strategic plan, some of the issues we can already draw in. I think the first part about drug abuse, substance abuse, and liquor, I was going to say the other side of it is that people believe that our artists, because of the meager income they get, because of exploitation from big companies and abuse, they end up alcoholic, they end up with drugs nowadays, but that is not an excuse. But as the department, we are working on the issue of the exploitation of artists. We'll be working with their unions, we'll be working with the artists themselves, and engaging the big companies that are actually benefiting most of the time from what is the product of the artists and cultural workers themselves. So I'm sure we will be working with you and honorable members. We will appreciate and value your contribution and input in this regard, so that, as you say, we can look at protective measures that will assist, or policies that will assist to ensure that our artists are respectable, our artists get what they are worth. On the issue of health and drugs and so on, I think also, DG, we probably have to look at a unit that will focus on wellness issues, on counseling issues, working within the department, because we have also our own staff members that will need this kind of service, but we must also say to that unit, you look outside to our constituency, our artists, our singers, and so on and so on, who may from time to time need care, even soccer players, as you said. Care, they may need counseling, they may need advice in terms of how they can manage their finances, plan their career, and so on and so on. So I think for me, that is the starting point. Just to set up a special unit, you can have social workers, you can have whoever, and people in the health sector that can be able to help not only staff internally, but look outside and say there is a service that is available. There is someone that can listen and give counseling in that particular. And then we have programs, for instance, in the jail already. We can learn from that, or correctional center, I'm sorry. Where we say that art and culture is an important role. We're targeting specifically young people. It's part of our youth program. Where we're saying part of the correctional service that we can render is to use art and culture to rehabilitate our people there. So I don't think I will be commenting on each and every area. Rural development, we have a unit or a section where we're going to be dealing with rural development, especially looking at creative industries, working with other departments. We've already talked about the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. We're also looking at the Department of Traditional Leaders and Tribes. Comprehensive government and traditional leadership. We are forming partnerships with them and various other departments for economic empowerment. We're working also with the DTI in that respect. So some of the mandates, we're already focusing on rural development, we're already focusing on job creation and how we can empower our people with skills so that they can come into the sector competently. I think I won't go into the issues. NEPA, the Millennium Development Goals, I think the DG, when he makes his presentation to the committee, he will dwell on those issues. The language policy, provinces, for instance, were supposed to have a language policy. Now, some of the provinces are dilly-dally. Some of the provinces have done well, already adopted their policies. I think Gauteng and the Western Cape. But the others are still have to be pushed, and we again will depend on the portfolio committee to assist us with oversight and with pushing and ensuring that these ideas are implemented. I think it's, the time is over, but we'll be meeting again. And we appreciate the ideas, which I think will help us a great deal to make our department. We say we want our program Act for All, which means we must reach to all the masses of our people. And we also want to ensure that we're able to empower our people through the arts, culture, and heritage. We have not talked about the tourism aspect of it, the training, the tour guides, and the possibilities, especially for our rural areas, because all these heritage sites, most of them are in the rural areas. And I'm sure there will be more discussion and presentation when we come with our strategic plan next week. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honorable members, is there any announcement? If not, I shall make the only announcement that I have. One, thank you very much for coming. This attendance is good. And Minister and Deputy Minister, this is great. You can imagine if you two didn't come and it's only the administrators, head of honorable members, what would happen? Well begun is half done. Please keep it, and we'll interact with you when we plan this thing so that we respect your program and you respect ours too. Well begun, you have done. Congratulations. Keep it up. Thank you.
I'm going to go to the next one. Yeah.